This is Theatre Voice. I'm Dominic Cavendish, and I'm with Paulette Randall, who's just commenced her tenure as the Artistic Director of Tallawer Theatre Company. Her first production, Urban Afro-Saxons, currently running at the Theatre Royal Stratford East, examines questions about what it means to be British today. Over the course of a day and a night, neighbours from an East End council estate are forced by an armed siege to camp out in a children's play area and to get to know each other properly, with all the frictions and friendships that that engenders. Paulette Randall, thank you very much for joining me. One of the things that struck me most forcibly about this impressive production was that it gave an idea of what a debate about Britishness might sound like at street level, rather than in the media or in a more rarefied sphere. Was that your intention?
Absolutely. I mean, there's, at the moment, you know, there are so many kind of words being bandied about, I don't know, race and culture and all these things. And I was thinking, I don't even know what half of this means. Do you know what I mean? What is culturally diverse? What is multiculturalism? What does it really mean? And I think that a lot of the time, I think for a lot of people, it's just words, and it's not really looking at the people that live it. And so I wanted to do something that kind of explored that. And when I got the job at Tallawer, I thought, this is a wonderful opportunity to kind of do it, you know, finally, instead of just talking about it like everybody else. So that's why Urban Afro-Saxons happened, really. And the way that we did it was, I had the title, and I thought, right, given the time scale to do this show, I wouldn't put all the pressure on one writer. So I thought I'd get two writers, maybe, you know. Anyway, I got Patricia Elcock and Kofi Adjaman, and six actors who kind of came along with the thought that, yeah, all right, we'll sit in a room and we'll somehow get a script at the end of 5 weeks. And that's what we did.
Another of the things I was very struck by was the sheer diversity of opinions it airs across the board. Did that arise from the workshop process itself, with actors contributing ideas?
One of my things was that it seemed like the minorities, and of course I'm apparently one of them, were given an awful lot of airspace. And I was thinking about the remains of the indigenous population that weren't necessarily being addressed, or, you know, there's lots of things happening for everybody apart from kind of white people. And I kept thinking that I'm sure that there's a voice there that's not being heard in that whole discussion, because otherwise you can't talk about diversity and exclude people. You have to include everybody. So that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to find a platform where we could all have all of those voices kind of being heard. You know, I grew up being called West Indian when I was at primary school. I was born in London. I don't really know anywhere else. This is my home. And even then, I didn't even know what that meant. Do you know what I mean? I'd never been to the West Indies. I knew nothing. All I knew was that my parents were from somewhere else. But there were kids at school whose parents were Greek or Polish, and they didn't seem to kind of have that sort of, they weren't called the Greek children, do you know what I mean, or the Polish kids. They were just called whatever their names were. So obviously it was something to do with colour. But and so I just wanted to kind of explore all of that, because what's so fantastic about London in particular is that it is so varied, it is so diverse. And yes, it's not kind of, you know, it's not a great big melting pot where we're all living and having together. It's not that. But I do think that it is a lot better than a lot of other places in the world. And it's quite unique, I think, what happens in London, and I love it. And I think we should celebrate that. And I hope, in some ways, that Urban Afro-Saxons does that. Have the discussion, but not kind of go, oh, isn't it terrible? Actually, it's a great thing.
There were a couple of moments when the audience were absolutely gripped. One was where a black woman called Patsy was accused of not understanding what racism is, thinking that it only applies to black people. That felt quite a startling thing coming from a black theatre company. Is that something that you felt was quite contentious?
It's not even that, you know. All it is just being honest. And if we kind of go, look, there are so many different kind of people that make up, you know, black, or that make up whatever, and they do have different experiences and different thoughts and beliefs. And actually, we just wanted to knock a few of those down and just go, look, this is a nonsense. If we're really going to have an intelligent debate about what is happening here and who we are and how we all fit in, then you have to get rid of some of the nonsense. And that's one of them.
There was another moment when the audience again were very seized up, which was when Tanya, the white girl, says that she wants more respect shown to her. You assume you're going to hear quite a racist white voice, but here it wasn't particularly inflammatory. Again, did you think it was quite important to include that remark?
For me, it was crucial that we had that voice. As I said, you know, we need to kind of, if you're going to have the debate, you have to have all the voices there to have it properly. And I, you know, it's just one of those things I kept thinking, it must be really interesting for an old generation who have grown up in, you know, what they call their country, quite rightly, that is, you know, white and, yeah, that's white. Mm. And for it to change so radically in their lifetime must be quite a thing, I would have thought, for anybody. You know, any country that you live in, if you suddenly have lots of different people coming in and your country changes before your very eyes, that must be quite a thing. And at the moment, because we're so politically correct, people are scared to say what they really feel in case they're branded as being racist, whereas actually, a lot of the time, I think that it's just fact that they feel they've been pushed out, or they feel that they no longer have a voice because everybody else is allowed to say, but they're not. And I think a lot of that is to do with the way that we're taught history, the way that we're allowed to experience this history that we're going through right now, without having proper debates. It's almost like saying, I can't imagine what it must have been like in the 50s. I really can't. And that's not to say that black people haven't been here, but not in these kind of numbers and kind of consecutively. But I can't imagine being here in the 50s, where it's a bit like your 21st birthday party and your parents invited complete strangers and didn't tell you, and you had no say in it. You know, suddenly these people kind of went, well, what are all these black people doing here? They didn't know, because they weren't informed. They didn't have a part in the debate. They didn't know. And suddenly it was like, well, they've come here to take away our this, our that, our homes, our jobs. And actually, if you listen now, it's the same thing that's happening again with asylum seekers. They're the new kind of black, in a way. You know, we had it with the Asians back in the sort of late 70s, 80s. Well, there's that big influx, and it's just like a new target. And again, it's the same rhetoric that people were saying back in the 50s. They're taking our jobs. I can't get into hospital because these people are taking up the spaces in the beds. And it's a nonsense. That's not quite how it works. But because we still don't, we haven't learned, we still just kind of go, oh, shut up, you know, we're doing this. And treating people like children, that's what, you know, all these people in power keep doing. And they're not the ones that have to live it. They're not at the coal face, as it were.
Talking about black theatre in general, do you think that part of the necessary future of black theatre is that it at least doesn't seem to speak only to black audiences? Perhaps in the past it seemed to do that, but maybe that, again, was its chief virtue.
I think the main thrust of it was, but I don't think it was ever to exclude anybody else. Otherwise we wouldn't have, you know, we couldn't have kept going, really. But I think it was to look at things that maybe other people weren't addressing or weren't looking at, that were real issues and real problems. I mean, I know for a long time people kind of felt that working in black theatre meant kind of coming from a very political standpoint. And in some ways that was the case. But now I think it's changing. And also it's also changing the way that you look at politics anyway. It doesn't have to be kind of, you know, a big banner kind of wielding or a big heavy hammer over the head. But also I think a lot of the time that people just thought, I just want to write a play. I don't want to have to write a play that's issue-based. And I think that's fine. It's about having choice.
Do you think the presence of black theatre could be more visible? Some people would go so far as to say that British theatre is institutionally racist.
Any institution is... Listen, at the moment you could say any institution is racist. Just simply because it's an institution. It's been going for a long time without having to address those issues. And to a certain extent theatre is as well. In a way, we're kind of ignored... black theatre, you know, there's no kind of... You just look at the awards, for example, never included. Also, you know, a lot of the work is not done on the scale that a lot of the other work is done on, so it's still very much small-scale, touring kind of venues that people kind of don't pay much attention to. So once we can start to get into the major league, then hopefully we'll kind of be seen as actually, you know, a part and parcel of British theatre, which is what we are.
Are you quite positive about the state of the scene at the moment?
I am one of those people that's forever optimistic, right? I keep thinking that things are getting better, but there's still room for more change. I know that things are improving. You know, the fact that, on the one hand, you could say, well, there are not as many black theatre companies as there were 20 years ago. That's not necessarily a bad thing, because we've now seen, for example, just recently, you had Kwame's play at the National, you had Roy's play at the Royal Court, and you had Debbie's play at Hampstead. And that was like, wow! But, you know, that's rare for that to happen, like within 2 months, that three major writers have got their work on at established theatres. So, yes, things are changing, but we've still got a way to go.
There is going to be, provided you raise the money, a home for black theatre in the near future. Do you think that will transform things?
Listen, it's about making British theatre far more exciting, and it's just having something else to offer. You know, it's not kind of saying, oh, if we do that, if we get our own building, we are only going to do stuff that we want to do. It's actually about enhancing British theatre. It's kind of saying, look, you could go there and see that musical, you could go there and see that play, or you could come here and see this. that might be different. It's also not just about Talawa having a home, a base. It's also about having a space where other theatre companies, if we're talking about growing and developing, they need to be able to play somewhere. So you're not going to do a show and then suddenly it's going to be at the Duke of York's or, you know, the Ambassadors. Maybe if, say, for example, Yellow Earth or Nitro Theatre Company or Tamasha do a play that's really good. Well, actually, Tamasha's been in the West End already, but, you know, who are normally just playing small scale, they'll be able to come in and do a show in London at a nice venue that people can come and see, and who knows what can happen. It's all about making progress for all of us. Do you know what it is? It's about choice, because you might not want your play to be done in Victoria, whatever the theatre's going to be called, you know, in between a Talawa production, I don't know. You might have built up a relationship because, as I said, things are improving. There's, for example, the Eclipse have got this project that's happening at the moment, which is about black writers writing for the middle-scale theatre. Now, if that's happening, and, you know, Talawa's doing whatever we're doing, trying from our end to improve things, then things are going to be happening all over the country. It's not just about London as well. So hopefully, you know, that will change anyway. It's just, why not have a building that's kind of predominantly looking at work from people of colour?
Paulette Randall, thank you very much.